We're going to turn this evening to Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Paul is continuing to write about how we who have been saved by sovereign grace, how we should conduct ourselves as the church of Jesus Christ. Although what he writes about here spills out of church life and into general day-to-day life. He's building a case, he's building things up bit by bit. He's shown us at the beginning of the chapter that we must keep the unity that God has given to us, that we must use the gifts that God has given to us, and as we saw most recently, that we must grow together spiritually. And he continues here in verse 17. In the light of a growing maturity in spiritual understanding, in the light of the fact we're to be growing together, he says, "This I say, therefore, brethren, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." Here is the real point of everything I'm going to say this evening, and I'm not going to say a great deal, but here it is, and it's very simple. Christians are supposed to be different. Christians are supposed to be different. Our heading tonight is Different Living. And in our studies in Ephesians, which God willing will take us apart from communion evenings through to the beginning of June, every sermon title has a different in it. It's different this or different that. There's a list of them on the wall at the back. And it's Different Living, the heading tonight. And that could cover all the messages, in fact, that we're going to look at until the beginning of June. Different living. And our passage this evening is a general introduction to these very specific instructions in the verses to come. It's almost like the doctrinal basis of all that we're going to see. What we were and what we are. This is what Paul is reminding the Ephesians about, what they were and what they now are. And I've got three very simple headings this evening just to help us think. It may help me think, certainly. Three very simple headings: putting away the example of others, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. So firstly, putting away the example of others. You should no longer walk, verse 17, as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. It's a bit of a dark picture, isn't it? It's pretty harsh language. It's a very dark picture of the unconverted Gentiles. Now, not all the unconverted Gentiles were in as desperate a condition as he paints. He paints here a very, I hate to say, use the word exaggerated, but a very graphic picture of the very worst of humanity, really. And he is making a very clear point by doing it. And see that he says at the beginning, "I testify in the Lord." He's underlining what he's saying. He's really saying, I insist that you give attention to what I'm saying. This I say, therefore, and testify. And we should give him our attention. He is our apostle. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And in the preservation of God's word, his ministry is as good to us as it was to the early church. So we give him our attention. He says, I insist, I testify in the Lord. And this is the headline of the passage, if you like, this verse. And he'll underline it in so many ways. Don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles. Don't be like them. That's the headline. And he's just going to flesh it out a bit in the verses to follow. It's a very simple fact, really, that if we are Christians, we cannot actually live as others do, because we're not the same. We're actually different. We are different. We can't be the same because we are different. We've been changed, and we should remain different. See what he says about the unconverted Gentiles? He says, they walk in the futility of their minds. Those who do not know and love the Lord have futile minds. Minds set on things that don't matter. Well, it's often the case for us, perhaps, that our minds are set on things that don't matter. It doesn't mean that we can't think and talk about pleasant, trivial things like sport or entertainment. But we know that ultimately those things don't really matter. I'm sure it mattered somewhat to the Millwall fans this afternoon when they lost 6-0 at Tottenham. But it won't matter in the long run. It matters to them a bit today. They're all a bit upset. I'm sure the Tottenham fans are all very happy. But it doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't change anything in life. It won't change anybody's anybody's health. It shouldn't do anyway. It won't change anybody's employment or whatever. It changes nothing in the big picture. Nothing at all. It's just a pleasant diversion, a game of sport. Well, it's a sideline. And there's so much else too. There may be films and other things that we enjoy and we can talk about, but they are trivial. They're things that don't matter. And the question is not, do we ever think about things that don't matter? Because it's actually quite healthy to do that. It's quite healthy to have some diversion sometimes and some leisure and relaxation. The question is that all we ever think about? Is that all we ever talk about? Because that is how the rest of the Gentiles walk. This is what he's saying. They walk in the futility of their mind. Now, this isn't a relevant example to everybody here, because you don't all use it. But on the internet, or on your phone, or however you use it, Facebook is quite a good example. Some people don't use Facebook at all. You might say, well, I haven't got a clue what it is and I don't care. Well, that's fine. And God bless you. And you're not missing out on anything, really, honestly. Just, you're fine. Just leave it alone. It'd be absolutely fine. But some people don't use it at all. But then other people that do, the Christian people that do, they perhaps have an account. It's like my dad. He has a Facebook account with his picture on. And he never posts anything. He just uses it to look at the occasional thing. If there's family photographs or whatever, he might just look at it. And then there are other people who like to put posts up. Some Christians, they only post Bible content. If you look at what they put, it's like all Bible verses, or links to sermons, or encouraging pictures with something on it. It's all Bible stuff and Christian stuff. It's all good stuff. No, not criticizing that necessarily. Other people, by contrast, they just post, it's trivia all the time. There's nothing serious, there's nothing substantial. It's just jokey stuff, light stuff. Well, that's an indication, to an extent, I don't want to get into it too much, but it may be an indication of a futile mind. If there's nothing serious and nothing of any value, people will post different things, news stories, perhaps work-related things. But some people, it's just, there's nothing serious about anything they put up on there. We need to have a sense of humour, but we don't always tell jokes. I have a terrible sense of humour, by which I mean a sense of humour that gets me into trouble more often than not. But it doesn't have a place, really, a big place in the preaching of God's word. It doesn't have a big place in ministry things. It has a place in other areas. We have a sense of humor, it's good to, but we're not always joking. And it's just like with Facebook. Well, we might find something amusing, but we're not just always posting empty stuff. In life, what are we going to talk about? Well, we might talk about sport and things we enjoy, but that's not all we talk about. We've got more substantial things to talk about, serious things. There's a balance, isn't there? There's a balance in it all. And what we have to recognize is that before God, the trivial stuff, the light stuff, the amusing stuff, the entertaining stuff, before him it has no value whatsoever. No significance whatsoever. But we don't want to be miserable clones. That's something I rather fear about some people. They just seem to be miserable. They don't have any sense of humor. They don't seem to have any interest in anything at all that isn't really, really serious. And I struggle with people like that because I don't get people like that. I don't understand. Maybe I'm just not serious enough. Well, we're not supposed to be miserable clones, but we're supposed to be different. And going to another area of the New Testament and the teaching of the Savior about how we are supposed to be kind of salty. We're supposed to be salt in the world, salt and light. And we're supposed to, and you think about salt, you know, you don't overwhelm things with it, you just sprinkle a bit in there. There's supposed to be something different. And so perhaps if we use Facebook, well, we may find something amusing. We may enjoy the video yesterday of that man being interviewed by the BBC and his two children running in the background and his wife frantically trying to drag them out and them falling on the floor. And that was great. But at the same time, we might think to ourselves, well, this was a sermon I really enjoyed. I want people to maybe listen to that, so I'll share that link. Or here's a Bible verse that's encouraged me today, so I'll put that up. And the same thing, because our day-to-day conversation is just like old-fashioned Facebook. So you meet somebody or you talk to somebody at home. I've just read this in the Bible. What do you think about this? That's like your post. And then the next hour, perhaps, is, or have you seen, you tell somebody a joke, that's your next post. Real life is basically old-fashioned internet stuff, you know. We just do it face-to-face rather than on a screen. What are we like? What's our character like? Is there this balance? Is there this sprinkling of salt in there? Are we as Christians different? We've got serious business. We're on serious business, the King's business. Are we sharing the gospel? Are we concerned that people don't merely perceive us as just jokers with nothing of any great significance to say? Well, Paul lays out the basis for the difference between Christians and non-Christians in verse 18. He says of them, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. This is what he says. Why are they like this? Why are they in this condition? Well, it started with the futility of their mind, futile thoughts. Notice that. Always know that. Men, women, boys and girls, people are not robots. People make choices. There's not blind determinism at work in the world. Men choose darkness rather than light. That's the reality. That's the truth. And it begins with futile thoughts. It begins in their minds, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. And having chosen sin, and having chosen foolish things, sin blinds them. It darkens the mind. They cannot see the obvious, that God is. And because of this, they are alienated from the life of God. What does that mean? Well, they're cut off from all the blessings that come from knowing him, and the privileges of which we have so many. And see that Paul says, because of the ignorance that is in them. There is ignorance in them. It characterizes them. Ignorance. It's so sad. Not that we are there to be despising people, but that we should be sorrowing over this. It is so sad. When you see an academic genius unmoved by the vastness of the cosmos and the splendor of creation, and what we look at and we say, look at the work of the hands of the Almighty and the Eternal God, and they're just completely unmoved by it. And you think, this is so comprehensive, this blindness, this ignorance, why it's in them. What's our reaction to this reality? It must be to pray for them and to seek to reach out with the gospel when we can. And also to be genuinely horrified by this reality. Paul is reminding the Ephesians, this is what you were like. You're not supposed to be like these others who don't love the Lord. You're supposed to be different. And we should be horrified by the darkness, the blindness, the foolishness, the futility. We should be so different. We need to be rejecting this example of life constantly. It's really this. Remember where you came from. Remember where you would be. Blindness of the heart. He says, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, it leads to only one thing. Verse 19, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. He is saying, in a simple sense, making a pretty comprehensive picture in three words, quite a general expression. He's really saying they are so given over to sin, they are wantonly, greedily committing uncleanness. And what is on the inside of them? Why, it shows on the outside. The inward reality has an outward expression. I'll do whatever feels good to me, and God is left out of the picture completely. Well, are you a Christian believer? When you look at that, what do you think? Does it horrify you? Or does there a little part of you that wants to participate in it, wants to approve of it? No, we are not to be like the world. Different living. We should be putting away the example of others. And the second heading, very briefly, putting off the old man. Paul says, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. Christians are different. It's an interesting picture, isn't it? To speak about this as learning Christ. It's the picture of a schoolroom with a teacher. But the difference here is that the teacher is also the lesson. We don't come to Christ and learn from a blackboard. We don't come to Christ and learn from a book, in the sense, of course, we have the Word of God in the Scriptures. But we come to Christ and we encounter Him in the Scriptures. We learn Christ. We learn from Him. This is all His Word, anyway, at the end of the day. We learn Him by hearing Him. He is the truth. He is truth. We learn from Him, we learn Him by hearing Him and knowing Him and trusting Him and resting on Him and proving Him. And we learn how to behave from Him. Paul says in verse 21, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Well, that's a question we must ask ourselves. Don't assume, am I really a Christian? Have I heard the Lord Jesus? Have I believed on Him? Have I repented of my sin? Do I know Him? Paul is describing here, by the way. He's not commanding. He does some insisting at the beginning of our passage in verse 17 when he says, I testify in the Lord. He's quite insistent, but he's not laying down commands. He is painting a picture. He is really reminding. He's saying, this is who you were. This is who you are. Don't go back to being like the unconverted Gentiles. And so here he says that you put off, verse 22, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the sinful lust, to the deceitful lusts. Now, this isn't a command. People come to this and they think, Paul's telling us to put off the old man and put on the new man. Well, no, he isn't. That's not what the language of the passage is at all. He is describing to the Christians, reminding the believers and us, if we love the Lord, that this is what has already happened. You did this. You put off the old man. This is what he's saying. You did this. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. You did that, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This is not a command that in terms of, he's not saying to the Ephesians, this and this, now put off the old man. No, he's describing what already happened in their lives. These aren't commands. The language doesn't support that at all. This is what you did, not what you must now do. What you must now do is here as well. He goes on. You should be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 23. What is he talking about, though? What does it mean to put off the old man? What does it mean that a Christian at some point in their life put off the old man? It's repentance. That's what it is. Repentance, biblically understood, is turning away from one thing, turning to another. Turning away from sin and turning to holiness. Turning away from self and turning to God. You put off the old man. You repented. Paul says, Christians, remember, you repented. You put the old man off. That sinful nature, that inclination which only grows in corruption. Yes, we still battle with sin as Christians, but we are no longer bound by sin. We're not under law, but under grace. And it's a different battle to a great extent. So putting off the old man, that's the second heading, the thing that we have done. But there is another thing that a Christian will already have done, putting on the new man. That's the third heading. And here it is in verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness. Christians, remember, you put off the old man and you put on the new man. You repented of sin and you turned to Christ. He's saying, remember, this is the reality. This is what has happened. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, he says in verse 23. By the way, some Bible versions have it by be renewed by the Spirit. But it's not the Holy Spirit who is being referred to here. It's just another expression for our own minds. It's lowercase. It's right in the New King James. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He uses another term, another description. In the spirit of your mind. Repentance in action. Repentance leading to action. One thing being turned away from, another thing being turned to. And he says, this is what has happened if you are truly saved. This is what has already happened. You did. You put off the old man. And you put on the new man, which was created according to God. That's what has happened. If you are truly saved, you've been made in the image of God and remade in the image of his Son. And therefore, he says, you should be like God as God says, be holy, for I am holy. Paul is reminding us of the basis of all Christian living, that Christians are different. We are different. We've seen the gospel in this glorious letter, in all its glory in the first three chapters. The great salvation of God, amazing grace, which can so rescue and change each one of us, who left to ourselves would be just as it says in verses 18 and 19, understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorant, blind in the heart, past feeling, lewdness, uncleanness, greediness, we would be there. Well, may I just ask you, are you really a Christian? Are you different? Or do you look at all of this and you think, well, I don't recognize it. I don't know what this is about. I feel no part of it. Well, then repent and believe in the gospel. Trust in Christ and don't make any delay about it. Because if you do, you are in great danger. You're in rebellion against God. But he says here, you put on the new man, which was created according to God, verse 24, in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness is part of the new man created according to God. Yes, we'll fall and we'll fail, but we persevere in the Christian life. So if putting off the old man and putting on the new man is a done deal, if you like, what application is there to our lives? What do we take from this? Well, it's very simple, as I said at the beginning. We must be putting away the example of others who are not saved. May the Lord keep us from admiration solely of foolish and vain things. May he give to us a sense of balance, that we enjoy the good things that are there to be enjoyed, that we're able to laugh with those who laugh, rejoice with those who rejoice, but mourn with those who mourn, and reach out with the gospel because we have that balance in our lives. May he help us to enjoy good things without being ensnared by them. Why, yeah, you can enjoy sports, you can play sports, you can do those things without them being your God, because you already have. There is only one God whom you should worship. Same with so many things. Your home, your garden, your family, your computer, your television, your car, whatever it might be. Everything must be put in its right place. Put things where they belong. Worship God alone. This is all I have to say, and it's all I can say. Remember what you were, and remember what you are, and live it. That's the word of God, and that is what we have to consider this evening. May God bless his word to us. Amen.